Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy. I mean, this class, this quarterback class, I think we're underselling.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. So good to be with you here on this Wednesday afternoon. Kicking it, vibing, grooving. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. A lot of good vibes. A lot of good vibes here today. C-Cat, I got a fresh cut, and you know exactly what happens when you have the fresh cut. You got to run the errands. You got to make sure you're not wearing a cap. That's rule number one, as you're infamous for getting a haircut, sitting down in a chair, paying for a haircut, getting fresh, and then covering it up with a hat so nobody can see the good work that your barber did. Shame on you, C-Cat.
Haircuts are for function, not for fashion.
What?
Yeah.
What do you even mean by that? So you don't get a haircut to look better. You get a haircut to just trim, literally like shorten your hair?
Like a dog, yeah. Like I just need it. It's time.
Oh, my goodness. Where's the flavor in it? How much do you pay for haircuts, and how often do you get them?
I pay about $45, and I get it maybe once every 2 months.
Oh, man. If I got a haircut once every 2 months, I would just feel worse about myself, man. There's a different feeling, a different vibe.
Thanks.
A different level of confidence. I mean, that's me personally. Yeah. Not you. You obviously are cool with it. You got to, you know, to each his own. But for me personally, like, come on, man. Like, I love to be able to look myself in the mirror and see that sharp edge up, that nice fade. You know, I get the tape and kick it like that, man. On this Wednesday, we got midweek midterms. We're going to be grading some of the hot topics in sports. We're going to have Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike pull up on us in a little bit because he has to defend something. He absolutely offended me this morning on Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear here on ESPN 106.3, 6 to 10 a.m. with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. Shout out Smalls, by the way. You saw the Miami Dolphins made her top five or top six for the NFL franchises.
Wow.
We got to get her on soon. And it might not be the pitcher on the Dolphins. It might be to protect her from becoming a Dolphins fan. But that's not where we have to start today. A guy who generally does have a great head of hair. You know, he keeps it fresh. And he also has one of the better names in football right now. Bo Nix. Bo Nix from the Denver Broncos. The number 12 overall pick. The sixth quarterback drafted in the first round this past April in the NFL draft. We got the news today, C-Cat. Bo Nix going to start week one for the Broncos against the Seahawks. Sean Payton in his 18th season for the very first time trusting a rookie quarterback. And it makes sense because Bo Nix, you know, is as old as you and I. Like, Bo Nix is how old is he actually? Because I see the jokes all over the internet. I think he's, what, like 24, 25 years old?
I believe he's 25. But, 20. I mean, it also makes sense because he was in a QB battle with Zach Wilson. What was his competition there in the locker room in Denver?
And so, Jarrett Stidham, too.
Jarrett, yeah. Don't want to sell the Auburn Tigers short. Yes.
It was a very easy bar to clear for Bo Nix to get the starting job. Now, he cleared it, you know, pretty heftily. It has been obvious since the preseason started he's the best quarterback in that locker room, and his performance showed. But Sean Payton's been singing this dude's praises literally since before the NFL draft and then after he made his way to Denver. Like, Sean Payton, who's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, quarterback guru, he's levying right now his career on not just the decision to cut ways with what some people believe to be future Hall of Famer Russell Wilson, but what I would say is a guy that played his way out of the Hall of Fame in Russell Wilson. He cut ways with him, paid him millions and millions to go out the door and play for the Steelers, and he's leveraging the back end of his career and his legacy and his reputation on Bo Nix out of Oregon. And when I see Sean Payton do that, and when I look at the rest of this rookie class from 2024, these quarterbacks that are entering the league that have me so excited, we're about 2 weeks away from the kickoff of the NFL season, Chiefs-Ravens, and I'm starting to think, man, I get to looking and vibing. And then I see the headline come across that says, Nix, the first Broncos rookie quarterback to start week one since 1983, John Elway. And a light bulb went off, C-Cat. A dangerous one at that.
Yes.
And I'm about to say something that's going to piss some people off. I'm about to say something that is not necessarily a I'm not a hyperbole guy. I'm not the kind of guy that tries to stretch things. This 2024 draft class with quarterbacks is destined to be, dare I say, will be, the greatest quarterback draft class we have seen in the history of the NFL. You're going to be telling your kids about this class, about Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears, who literally is going into, walking into the best situation we've ever seen a guy have. A city that is huge, a market that is beautifully made for a presence as big as he is. Weapons all around, a head coach with a new hairdo in Matt Eberflus, and an offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron. That was a 7-win team for the Bears last year, and now you're bringing in a Heisman-winning quarterback and a generational talent in Caleb Williams. That dude going to be sporting a gold jacket. Drake May with the New England Patriots. See, Kat, I don't have as much faith as others in the Drake May experience, but the dude, he comes from a family of athletes. Drake May also, on top of that, is being entrusted with the carrying the throne now for a New England Patriots franchise that has been run so well since I've been conscious of the NFL. And on top of that, I mean, here's Harry Douglas from Freddie and Harry earlier this week in just specifying why he thinks a guy like Drake May, who doesn't have as many collegiate starts as Bo Nix, doesn't have the same accolades and awards as Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who are two Heisman Trophy winners, but he does have pedigree, and he's got a lot of raw talent. Sitting behind Jacoby Brissett, it could spawn a guy that can contend for, dare he says. Again, Freddie and Harry, Harry Douglas here, former NFL wide receiver, saying Drake May could be maybe top in the class.
We're talking about a guy who didn't play high school football the senior year because of COVID. And then his freshman year at North Carolina, he had to sit because he was sitting behind Sam Howell. So
right. You're
talking about a guy who really only has two real years of football, but I think has tremendous upside,
yeah,
who could potentially be the best quarterback in this draft class when it's all said and done.
So you look at the 2024 class, and I don't believe that because I do think Caleb Williams is a can't-fail prospect who is going to come out the gates firing, is going to be in the MVP voting by the end of the year. The Bears are going to win 12 games and be a playoff team. But you look at Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders, Drake May with the Pats, Michael Penix Jr., number 8, to the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix Jr., who, by the way, is so damn good. He was such a tantalizing prospect that the Falcons, who just got done paying Kirk Cousins $100 million to pull up on a limp Achilles, drafted him number 8 overall to sit a couple years. Like, he's that good. They believe in him that much. And look at all the talent around him when he's going to finally take over that job. Michael Penix, who brought Washington to a national championship game, that dude is going to be a prolific starter in this league. I'm looking like, C-Cat, we have 3 or 4 guys that can be potential Hall of Famers, 3 or 4 guys that can be guys that I actually see lifting a Lombardi trophy at the end of the year at some point in their career. And there's other classes that have happened before this. There's 83, there's 04, there's 2020 that's burgeoning right now. But the 2024 class, with the way that the NFL is set up today, this is going to be the best class, and I think you need to start taking note right now. I always give y'all the inside scoop here on Theoretically Speaking. I say it first, and y'all say it later. I set the tone, and then other folks on ESPN Radio are going to say it 2-3 weeks from now, and then y'all are going to start to finally vibe with this. Mark the day. Wednesday's August 21st. I'm telling you right now, they're going to start making waves about this thing, especially if Sean Payton can make Bo Nix look like a certified starter in this league. This 2024 NFL draft class, when it comes to the quarterbacks, 6 of them taken in the first round, maybe even a couple of those guys later, Spencer Rattler with the Saints. It's going to be the best quarterback draft class in league history, and a lot of it has to do with the state of the NFL right now, CK.
A lot's about the state and how quarterbacks are treated. A lot of it is the talent of the fellows, but the most important factor, if you ask me, is because of the organizations who got these quarterbacks. They're not in shambles like you saw the Panthers last year. They were trading away assets. You were talking before the show, Adam Thielen was the number one in Carolina for Bryce Young, your number one pick. He had no chance last year. You're getting Caleb Williams going to the Bears. We've talked at length at how, well, the Bears obviously didn't earn the number one pick by being the worst team. They took it from the Panthers.
Panthers gifted it to him.
Jaden Daniels with Washington might be one of the worst setups between him and New England, but his talent is unbelievable. Drake May, not going to be weathering that storm in year one, or at least in the first half of the season, with Jacoby Brissett, local product, going to be taking those hits early. They're going to give him plenty of time to blossom. J.J. McCarthy got Justin Jefferson paid this year.
He gets to wait a year, too.
Exactly. He gets to weather the storm as well. Michael Penix, that team's built to win right now. And Bo Nix, he's getting the buy-in already.
Yeah, the Falcons are built to win now and for the future. All of those weapons, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, those guys are young. They're still on their rookie deals. It just, again, it feels like maybe hyperbole to the rookie ear. But I'm a veteran at this. I have a great level of discernment, especially when it comes to quarterback play. I'm calling the shot right now. 2024 is going to be the best quarterback draft class, and it's not just about the raw talent of these guys. It's also about their situations, the franchises that have drafted them, as well as the faith I have in the way that the league is set up right now. Their numbers are going to be through the roof. They're going to have to get through Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be a problem, right? Other draft classes have also dealt with those kind of things. And when you look at that 83 class, which is heralded as the number one of all time, I'm not here to disparage the past. I'm not here to throw shade on the greats and the legends of the game. This is a pro Dan Marino show, theoretically speaking. Two Super Bowl championships between all of them. Six quarterbacks drafted in that first round in 83, two Super Bowls, and both of them John Elway. I mean, you can clear that bar. Between these six quarterbacks, they can clear that bar. They can get the MVPs. They have two Heisman Trophy winners. They have a national champion in J.J. McCarthy and a guy that brought the Washington Huskies to the championship game in Michael Penix Jr. It's not out of left field. This is a talent, a class full of talent and also full of they're in great situations that I just clearly see it happening. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. What is, to you, the greatest quarterback class of all time? And also, how strongly you feel about the 2024 class and their potential to eclipse it? Don't sleep on the 2020 class, by the way. The Baptist Health Hotline, hit us up, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care's office is conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. There's no statues when it comes to these quarterbacks. All of these guys have the ability to move and damn well, right? Like J.J. McCarthy, he gets heralded not just because he's 21 years old, but he's an athlete. Michael Penix Jr., who didn't do a lot of scrambling and running at Washington, ran a 4.5. At his pro day. Caleb Williams and Drake May, I don't have to tell you about that. You saw that. Jaden Daniels, I mean, he ran for like over 1,000 yards and threw for like 4,000 plus at LSU. The last time we saw a guy transfer to LSU, by the way, and then win a Heisman, what did he go on to do in the NFL?
He ended up being Patrick Mahomes' biggest enemy.
Yeah. The biggest rival right now, the only guy other than Tom Brady to say I actually won a football game against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is Joe Burrow. And that 2020 class is nothing. It's nothing to snuff at. If you look at what they've done and the investment in the 2020 quarterback class, which we were reminded today, that was the COVID draft.
Yeah.
That was the weird one with Roger Goodell up in the big throne. And you know, like for that to be such a historic quarterback class, it's weird that we won't have them, the visuals of them walking across the stage. But that class, Joe Burrow, number one overall, Super Bowl appearance. Tua Tagovailoa to the Dolphins, led the league in passing last year. Part of one of the greatest shows, offensive shows we've seen in the modern era. Dropped 70 on the Broncos. You got Justin Herbert, who's, you know, everybody's fawning over all the time. We'll see what happens with him. He's got paid as well. Jalen Hurts, second in MVP, Super Bowl appearance as well. One or two plays away from beating Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And then you got Jordan Love. Supplants Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and already looks like a future Hall of Famer. The league is set up for quarterbacks to succeed. In this 2024 class, they're going to do that and more. They're going to eclipse these previous draft classes in a way that's going to have you telling your grandkids about it. I remember where I was when the 2024 season started and these elite prospects came in and took over the league. Be on the lookout. On the other side, we got to bring in Evan Cohen. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, Evan the Inevitable. He did something. He said something on his show this morning that just it felt disrespectful personally to me. And I need to address that with him. So we'll bring in Evan Cohen and we'll get his opinion on just how high this 2024 class can soar. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on a Wednesday on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
And we're back on a Wednesday. We're back with some things to address. I've got a bone to pick. It shouldn't be that serious to me, but it did hurt a little bit. It had me a little sad. It had me down in the dumps when I heard a man that I respect so much be so belittling of a hobby of mine. And that man is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. You hear him 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays here on ESPN 106.3 with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. By the way, we do have to address Michelle Smallman's top six NFL list. But first, Evan, thanks for joining the show. But what gives on you criticizing and trying to belittle plant pops like myself?
Well, I could not believe when per sources close to me, I learned today that you considered yourself a plant dad. Yeah. Now, let me be clear on this. If you are someone that takes care of your plants, does your gardening, is very much into nature and plant life, I'm all good with that. I have no issue with that. I've seen your home, not because I'm invited in, but because I watched Tyler Cameron's reality show, just saying, Palm Beach County Zone, and you have a beautiful home. You have a little outdoor area that looks beautiful.
Thank you.
If I were you and your wife, I would absolutely make sure the plants out there are taken care of. What I would not refer to myself as, though, is a plant dad. Mm. Because I got to be honest, hearing the terminology plant daddy, I'm thinking, God forbid, you're selling drugs. What's happening here? That's just a weird terminology. That's all I'm saying.
To be honest, I more so go with like plant poppy. Or a plant pops.
That's weird too. You're not helping yourself.
I'm just giving you I'm giving you what I do. I'm just sharing you again how I feel and what my moniker actually is, so you can get it right. And also, it is a lot of care, a lot of love and nurturing that goes into taking care of plants. I will continue to give myself that title until I actually.
I got no problem with that part of it, Theo.
Yeah,
I got no problem with that part of it. It's your terminology of plant poppy, plant daddy. That's just odd to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're also the kind of guy that is against people that call themselves like parents of pets as well. Like, I know you're out on dogs. I'm with you with that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think that a lot of the people that call themselves parents of dogs and cats are not people that actually have children. And I'm not saying you have to have children or you should have children or there's a requirement. I don't think you're a worse person in life because you don't have children. I think that's ridiculous. What I'm saying is what someone does to take care of an animal is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. Relating that and equating that to taking care of a human is absurd to me.
Absolutely. You're right. You're right on that. I'm lockstep with you on that.
That's all I'm saying.
However,
but when it comes to plants, I'm
on the spectrum of plant father to real father of children. Where do dogs land? Closer to fathering a real baby or fathering a hibiscus flower?
Okay, let me ask you a question, C-Cat. Theoretically, let's call yourself both a plant owner, a plant dad or mom or person, or an animal plant mom, dad, person, however
parent.
You want to refer to yourself as in the parental. Yeah, the parents. Thank you. That would have been easier.
Yeah. I love your inclusivity here on Theoretically Speaking, though. We appreciate that, but yeah, parent.
You know that's the way I am in real life, so I got to be that way on the radio. So here's the thing. Are you today, like I did in New York, talking to your spouse
about the class assignments that you learned today from middle school and elementary school.
You know, we got some
dog.
Got some obedience courses flower. They need. So we've talked about courses for the dogs. It's not a weekly conversation.
Who they're with? Who they're with? Are you going into your PNC bank account and looking at where the college funds are for said dog or plant, sea cat?
My dog needs ACL surgery. That's all I'm saying. And that's going to cost pretty darn a lot of money. It might as well be a baby.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, that, by the way, the irony of this, I swear to God, I just stepped outside of my house and there's a dog barking.
I hear it. I hear it a little bit. He hears
you.
Hear
it a little
he
bit.
Hears it's your like criticism.
The dog hears me talking junk. Yeah, they hear the dog hears me talking junk. I may have to go back inside.
Evan,
this is now scary to me.
To get off of the plant parent, dog parent stuff, I want you to be, because I think you give proper perspective on this. Again, you have your quarterback rules as featured on ESPN.com.
yes.
I have a very important take to get off on you, and I just want you to react blindly. Don't think too hard on it.
Okay.
Don't try.
Go, yeah. Go.
This 2024 NFL draft class, when it comes to these six quarterbacks, plus the other guys that went late, this is going to be the best draft class of all time in the history of the league. It's going to surpass the 83 draft and even the 2020 we just had, and even that 04 draft with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, your guy in New England, as well as maybe J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., their setups, as well as the talent that they're coming into the league with and the state of the NFL today, I'm calling it right now that they are going to be the best draft class, and this comes off the back of the news that Nix is going to be the quarterback one for the Broncos in week one.
Okay. You've had worse takes. I got to be fair on that. I've heard you with worse takes. I actually think this take, relative to your age and your time on air, makes a lot of sense. Now, what do I mean by that?
Backhanded.
This is so backhanded right now. Keep going, but this is...
I'm saying, like, okay, hold on. Theo, I'm trying to, like, defend your take while tearing it down simultaneously.
Thank you.
So here's the thing. The person listening right now in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast that's 50 years of age or older thinks you're insane. Because that person witnessed Marino and all of the great quarterbacks in 83.
Right. Elway, that Kelly, Marino.
Right. Okay. Ken O'Brien, even, was the first round pick. Who, I'm not saying he was unbelievable, but he had a decent career.
He was good.
There were other guys. Like, I'm saying, yeah. That person also was there in 04 when it was Eli, and it was Ben Roethlisberger, and it was Philip Rivers. That person also was there in 20, as you just mentioned, right? Which was what? That was Burrow and Tua and Herbert and Love.
Hurts.
And Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great class. So they think you're nuts. The person who's 30 years of age or younger hears you and thinks, you know what? There's some logic here, and here's why. Because Caleb Williams is being most similarly compared to who?
Patrick Mahomes.
And the best quarterback of that person's lifetime that is younger than 30 years old or 25 years old, they look at Mahomes as the greatest ever, not necessarily Brady. They also hear people like me in the mornings talking about QB fit, development time, it's best to wait. And they're thinking, well, J.J. McCarthy's getting a year off, not for intended reasons, but because of injury. Michael Penix probably ain't playing right away. Drake May probably ain't playing right away. And so now all of these things that we have talked about that are important to QB development kind of fit within this draft class. I don't think you're right, but I don't think it's an unfair take to throw out there based on how you set this up relative to fit and development opportunities that all of these guys seemingly have. And, oh, by the way, the number one pick in the draft in the Chicago Bears, it wasn't actually their pick.
Exactly.
We sometimes forget that, right? It was Carolina's pick, meaning – they were not horrific last year.
That's the thing. Like, Caleb Williams, one thing that's undoubted, like, Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation we've ever seen a rookie quarterback go into with Shane Waldron, who's a proven good offensive coordinator, with the three wide receivers he has in Keenan Allen, Aromo Dunze, and DJ Moore, a deep backfield. And then also, like you said, a team that won seven games last year. Caleb Williams is walking right into a place that's ready-made for him to be not just like rookie of the year, but be in the MVP voting if he's as good as he was heralded to be. And then I also look at guys like Jaden Daniels, who just won a Heisman. And the last time we saw a guy do that, transfer to LSU, win a Heisman, Joe Burrow is playing in the Super Bowl a couple of years later. Drake May is going to get to sit, like you said. Michael Penix Jr. has all of these young weapons out there in Atlanta and a new head coach in Raheem Morris, who a lot of the smart guys, like I even saw Sean McVay talking about how great Raheem Morris is going to be when he gets the head coaching job again. There's a lot of promise out of Atlanta. Like I see 2-3 Golden Jackets out of this class just based off of fit right now. And I think one of them and Caleb Williams could be one of the greater quarterbacks we've ever seen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. You're right. I'm young, but I'm also not dumb. And I see greatness out of this class.
I never said you were dumb. Yeah. I never said you were dumb.
Well, you called Plant Dads dumb. So
I think the terminology's dumb. I agree with that. Yes.
I'm also smart in what I did 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago at this point, in the offseason when I had my quarterback free agency, or not quarterback free agency, excuse me, fan free agency. When I had my own fan free agency here on the airwaves of ESPN 106.3, I renounced the Carolina Panthers because of the ownership of Dave Tepper, as well as the fact that I'm a man of my word. And I said, if they go out and trade for Baker Mayfield, I will leave this franchise, this daunted franchise. I did so. I had a fan free agency. It led me to the Kansas City Chiefs. We're 2 Super Bowls in. Great choice. On your show right now on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m., Chris Canty, Super Bowl champion, Michelle Smallman, current fan free agent. We have our top six. We got the top six right now. I'll list them off. Bengals, Jets, Packers, Bears, 49ers, Dolphins. Evan Cohen, be honest with me right now. Keep it G. Which one of these six teams would you prefer Michelle Smallman actually side with when you look at what she's deciding for right now?
I think the Packers will make her happiest. I really do. I think when you think about the QB and Jordan Love and the state of Wisconsin, and she's from the Illinois-St. Louis area, but the Illinois side that's more St. Louis than it is Chicago. I just feel like the Packers are the best position for the long term. And her big thing, remember, is that she's bitter towards ownership in St. Louis, where she's from, that they moved the team. Well, when there's no owner of a team, they can't move the team, can they?
That's true.
I mean, like, the fact that there's, like, if her whole bit here is that the ownership is what drove her to free agency, which, by the way, is the same bit as you have with Carolina, right? Picking a team that you can't get annoyed with the owner because they literally don't have an owner would seem like a smart move, would it not?
That's a great selling point. I would have said the Bears. I would love to see her get on board with the Bears right now because of the launch pad that you have in Caleb Williams and the setup, and it seems like they have a lot of smart guys around there. Also, I'm loving Hard Knocks. But I can't refute that. That would be solving two problems at once going to the Packers for Michelle Smallman. Also, I mean, can y'all please guard her from the Dolphins? We're going to try to get her on this week, Michelle Smallman. And my angle is not going to be to pitch her on becoming a Dolphins fan. I think I want to protect her from making that decision, as the Dolphins were actually one of the finalists for me as well, Evan.
Yeah, can I get some takes off on you? I want to get a Tua takeoff on you if I could, speaking of the Dolphins.
Fire away.
This whole thing this week with Levitard and Stugatz, which was great by them, getting that interview, and obviously Tua saying what he was saying and drawing the line about, you know, the previous coach and this coach and Brian Flores versus Mike McDaniel. And I just think a lot has been kind of done done unfairly here, specifically to Brian Flores. Was Brian Flores a great head coach for Tua? Absolutely not. Is there an argument that Brian Flores was terrible towards Tua? Sure. He didn't deny it, and Tua said it. Is there an argument that Brian Flores is a terrible person? Absolutely not. And I think that's where Tua, the only mistake he made in this is speaking for the masses. When he said, oh, if you wake up every single day and your boss told you you stink and you're not that good, et cetera, how would you be? You know, nobody would be good in that spot. Well, that's just not true, right? That's the way that he is, and there's nothing wrong with him wanting positive reinforcement. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And it's great that he has an amazing sense of self as to he knows how he's going to be motivated. But that doesn't mean every player on the 53-man roster is best when positively reinforced, right? The problem with the Miami Dolphins is they didn't know how to pair a coach and a quarterback. The Miami Heat, an organization, Theo, that you and I both love, famously say, we're not for everyone. And you know why they say that? Because they know exactly who they are and who they're not. They know who will fit and who won't.
They know who can handle a three-hour practice on a daily basis and working their butts off and who can't. Who can handle the intensity of Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and who can't. It doesn't mean if you're not for the Heat that you're not good or you're a terrible person or you're bad. It just means it's a bad fit. But all of that said, let me ask you a question because I'm dying to know the answer to this. All right? And here's my question. If the Miami Dolphins do this year what they've done each of the last 2 years, which is finish with a winning record and go to the playoffs and don't win a playoff game, what happens next?
Your question.
The QB's under contract forever, and the coach cannot be fired, nor should he be, if the QB is there, because the QB has told you he can't play for anybody else.
The funny thing about your question, Evan, that's the most likely scenario for the Miami Dolphins this year. Like, it's you're asking the question, but it feels more like a prophecy. It feels more like what is going to be fulfilled by the Dolphins because they do feel like a team that's just good enough to make the playoffs and not good enough to win a game. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to roll it back because they haven't won a playoff game in 24-plus years. The Dolphins aren't a franchise that are technically a Super Bowl contender this year and shouldn't be judged that way. They're a fun out. They're like the fun Fins. That's the way I look at them. A great show to go watch. But just don't have your expectations so high that you think they should be lifting Lombardi or challenging Patrick Mahomes. That's not their arena right now until they continue to retool that roster. So when that does happen, they're just going to run it back the next year and hopefully make the correct additions on defense, maybe improve the offensive line a little bit more, add another weapon maybe for Tua. I don't know. Like it's going to get tougher.
How? When Tua goes from, what, 23 to 53 million?
They got a draft.
Jalen Waddle's contract goes up.
They got to draft better.
Okay, so then let's play out. So we're talking about the 24-25 season, and Theo, you were saying basically they're going to go 10-7 and lose the first-round playoff game at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're kind of – okay.
Literally.
Fine. Now let's talk about 25-26 blindly. What's their record going to be blindly?
Similar. I would say similar, like 10-11 wins.
Okay, so then let's say they're on the road at Houston. Because let's say C.J. Stroud is, you know, a 2-seed at that point or a 3-seed, whatever you want to say. Okay, so they're on the road to Houston. What happens in that game, blindly?
The Texans win.
Okay, so what are you going to do then? Mike McDaniel's going to have a winning record in all four or five of his years there. He's going to go to the playoffs in every year and have zero playoff wins. Are you going to fire him?
No, I think what's the standard for the Dolphins, though? You're a Patriots fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. Like, the standard is different at organizations that are used to sustain success.
The standard is there is not a single player in the NFL that has more pressure on him to win one singular playoff game this year than Tua. Josh Allen, one, doesn't do anything for him. Lamar, Boynton's own, one, doesn't do anything for him. Joe Burrow, one, doesn't do anything for him. Jalen Hurts, one, doesn't do anything for him. Dak, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, one ain't enough. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even need to win one. He just needs to get to the playoffs and break that curse of not getting the playoffs. Tua needs to win one singular playoff game. If he doesn't, there's no justification to fire the coach because there's every belief that the coach could do this with other quarterbacks. And you can't get rid of the quarterback, and thus you can't unpair him with the coach because he's telling you, that's the guy I have to play for. They are stuck. And they have voluntarily become stuck because they extended Tua in a way that they didn't need to until next year. In addition, if I were Mike McDaniel's agent, because of these comments about Brian Flores versus Mike McDaniel, I'd be calling Chris Greer, the general manager, and Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, and I'd say I'd like a contract extension for my client, Mike McDaniel, and I'd like his final day on the job to be the exact same final day as Tua's final day.
Yeah.
Because your quarterback, who you just gave $53 million a year to, basically told you he's the only guy he's going to play for. And maybe he'll play for one other guy, and that other guy will never be the Dolphins head coach again in Nick Saban.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a great, what a cutaway to that. I love that little 180 right there to Nick Saban. Evan, I will say last thing on that point. The Dolphins are still, like, yes, they're locked into Tua and Mike McDaniel. There's still a slither bit of hope that Tua upticks his game. He gets better. He did slim down. Maybe he's a little more mobile and a little better for the Dolphins offense. And on top of that, you never know what happens with injuries with quarterbacks in the AFC. Maybe they stick around and they strike when the iron's hot, when the door is open for them because of a lack of somebody else being there. But you're right. I don't see this team being a contender anytime soon. Appreciate your time, and I'll be looking for that formal apology to plant parents all over, including myself, on Unsportsmanlike tomorrow morning.
All right, Plant Poppy. Thank you.
That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 106.3 with the fan free agent Michelle Smallman, who's still in my bit, by the way, a little bit. We'll still get her on. Still in my bit a little bit. And Chris Canty, the Super Bowl champion. And yes, it's me, Theo Dorsey, Plant Poppy. That's C-Cat. We are theoretically speaking. And Evan Cohen just joined us on the Baptist Health Hotline. You know how to hit us up, 888-760-3776. He jumped on the Baptist Health Hotline. And what I would tell him is, when you pull up actually in person and kick it with me and C-Cat, the place we got to go to get some drinks, get some grub, Duffy's Sports Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Duffy'sMVP.com. I also know there's a lot of folks that need to get their fantasy football drafts in. It's the perfect place to go right now to book a private room and go enjoy those two-for-one drinks, which are all day, every day. No happy hour. Every hour is happy. Also, you get the award-winning burgers and the jumbo wings. Like, Duffy's Sports Grill is the place to be. You can even draft from your home turf. Go to Duffy'sMVP.com. Order a party pack. Order the food to pull up to you. And you're going to be the MVP of your fantasy league before you even kick that thing off. Duffy'sMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. Angel Reese, huge partnership. This thing right here, serendipitous, had to happen. And I'm actually excited about this because I think she's doing something that on the men's side, we're lacking. And a lot of it has to go with her moniker. I'm Plant Poppy. She's got some great ones as well. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking. Talk to you on the other side on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
The Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Offseason Football Report. By the way, we're getting near the end of the offseason for football.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah, like it's getting a little, it's about to be the end season football report. But in case you missed it, Sean Payton named Bo Nix out of Oregon the first Broncos rookie quarterback to start the opener since John Elway of 83. And Bo Nix and this class, this 2024 class, these six quarterbacks, they are going to surpass the greatness of any quarterback class before them. You heard it here first on Theoretically Speaking. I won't talk on it anymore. That is the Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Offseason Football Report. Bo Nix and the Broncos versus the Seattle Seahawks. The Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Football Report in the offseason here. Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatment with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Growing up in the city, you heard the tops drop. They always told me to drive slow, homie. And you know we keep it vibing when we driving on that safe bound get around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around. The get around. Safebound Get Around, brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. You know how tough it can be to try to move on your own. You don't want to be in that situation where you're lugging furniture around. You call a couple buddies up to help you. You offer them some beers and some pizza. And you know they're going to be slacking off anyways. They're not going to be much help. They're not going to be the assistance you need. So go with the pros at Safebound Moving and Storage. I mean, they're located in West Palm Beach, Florida. They serve all of the Sunshine State. They are Florida's moving company. They have a strong commitment to the community. They provide moving services also for nonprofits. Some of it is through Goodwill. Your stress-free move starts when you see Safebound. Safebound Moving and Storage. You're safe with Safebound, and they also are also an elite company when it comes to storing all of your valuables. Safebound Moving and Storage. It's our first stop on the Safebound Get Around.
Next stop,
Chi-Town.
Windy.
Chicago Sky rookie forward Angel Reese announced a new partnership with Reese's Pieces.
That's perfect. Did you know that she calls her fan base like the Reese's Pieces?
All 10 of them?
Wow. Are you saying Angel Reese doesn't have fans?
All right, excuse me.
Are you saying Angel Reese, the Bayou Barbie,
She climaxed while she was in college. Nobody gives a damn about her now.
Awesome. Also, I will say this.
Probably did.
I will say this. You never know. I will say this. College dudes, they're inexperienced. I will say this about Angel Reese, too. The Bayou Barbie, the Reese's Pieces stuff, like, there's no good nicknames in current sports on the male side. We think about all our superstars and athletes, like Magic Mahomes. We're just reusing Magic for everybody. Gardner Minshew's Magic. That's Magic Johnson.
Is Sauce Gardner's real name Sauce?
It's a mod. That is a really good one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Also, Bo Nix. Bo's a good sports nickname.
Next stop.
Go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Your guy, blossoming T-Wolves star Anthony Edwards, said that nobody in the NBA had skill back in the 90s other than MJ.
The dude's from Atlanta. He runs his mouth. He barks. He yells. He talks often without a filter. So sometimes things are going to get misconstrued or come out the wrong way. This is definitely a fail by Anthony Edwards, though. And there are more skilled dudes today than they were back then, but it's because they learned from the dudes from back then. So I don't want to get too overly critical of the Ant-Man. He's going to have some missteps here and there. He still is the future of the league and the face of basketball going forward.
Next
Fantastic.
Up.
Let's go to Hollywood. Why are we in Hollywood? Because big news out of TMZ. Jennifer Lopez has filed for divorce from Ben Affleck. There's reportedly no prenup.
I really don't give a f-.
Yeah.
Where are we going to next?
Absolutely don't care.
Next
Care
stop.
About their relationship?
Florham Park, New Jersey.
Ooh, I'm married. I'm not married anymore. Yeah, like,
on and off?
The Giants Whack. And Jets had a joint practice today, and I feel like my entire Twitter feed was all Garrett Wilson just cooking Ooh. The Giants secondary. He embarrassed them all day long.
Told you, they don't need Davante Adams. They got Davante Adams at home, and he's in the form of Garrett Wilson, much younger, probably faster, and with Aaron Rodgers this year, the expectations should be higher because you have a dude, a capital D dude out there on the outside. Also, of all teams to, like, show out against the Giants, it's kind of like, that's not impressive to me.
That's picking up on a very undersized little brother right now. Giants are in horrid shape.
Yeah, it's just like, you're punching down. You're punching down playing the Giants, but you can only go against who they put you against, and Garrett Wilson is going to be damn good this year. 1,400 yards, probably double-digit touchdowns. The dude's going to be a star.
Next stop.
There's some pretty good events going around in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast because I want to win $10,000. Do you have the method for me?
Let's go to Wellington then. How about Wellington, Welly, where the horses reside? We're at it again this week with Michelob Ultra. Your chance to win on Thursday at Bonefish Max in Wellington. Thursday, that's tomorrow. Bonefish Max in Wellington from 6 to 8 p.m. You can putt your way to 10K. Show us your golf skills while drinking some great beers. You got $4.50 drafts of Ultra during the event. Who wouldn't want $10,000? I know I do. C-Cat, you do as well, but your putter's not that good. Maybe yours is, though. Drive for show, putt for dough. You must be 21 or older to participate. Southern Eagle reminds you to always drink responsibly, and we'll see you there. And I didn't mean to take a shot at your putter. It's not like you're terrible with it. It's just not for 10K. It's going to be some really elite competition out there in Wellington tomorrow.
Yeah, my stock putter, it won't really go. That's only comes with your bag of clubs. That's the cheapest one at Walmart.
Yeah.
Nah. Not my putter.
You ain't gonna, it ain't cutting it. So pull up. Again, Bonefish Max in Wellington tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We'll see you there. We'll also see you on the other side as we're going to have our mid-week midterms, which gets me excited. Got a good song out of Bears Camp. SC Cat, I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
As a former ninth grade English teacher, I'm pulling out that grading pen. It's time for some midweek midterms, and it's brought to you by Kaiser University, the flagship campus of Kaiser University. Those Seahawks, you know how they get down. And you know what else? The Kaiser Golf Coaching Center is a place where you can learn. Your coach will grade you after teaching you some of the very fundamentals of the game. Whether you want to work on that putter, you want to work on your driver or anything in between in your golf bag, the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, the place to go. 2,000 square foot indoor facility, 3 different hitting bays, ball flight technology, as well as some of the best coaches in all of the state. The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. Don't wait. Grow your game today. KaiserGolfCenter.com to lock in and train like a pro with the Seahawks. The midweek midterms, we do it every Wednesday here on Theoretically Speaking. And we lead it off. We lead off the midweek midterms there as we get that Schoolhouse Rock to vibe right into your soul here. How about we grade this? Plant Parents. We know what Evan Cohen would grade it, an F. I grade Plant Parents a solid B+. And I say B+ because usually, I mean, if you're a plant parent, that probably means everybody ain't got the green thumb. There's some bad ones out there. B+ for plant parents. What you got, CK?
That's an F-. That's an inanimate object. That's like I'm a chair parent.
It's not inanimate. They literally are living organisms.
I am a car keys parent.
That's not the same thing. Your car keys can't die.
You can paint your fence. Like, no. It's not a real thing.
You're an idiot. All right. Next up on the midweek midterms, that hurt my feelings. You and Evan are just screwing with me today. How about this? Sloppily drunk people at amusement parks. I grade that an A. I mean, sloppy's bad, but having a good time, I'm not gonna steal anybody's thunder. Do your thing.
Yeah,
be safe.
I was at an all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink park in Orlando over the weekend, and it's expensive. So I'm going to get every little bit out of that all-you-can-drink package. Normally, I would judge someone who gets sloppily drunk in public. They're paying out of pocket. That's an A.
Yeah, you're getting your money's worth. Congrats and kudos to you. Just stay safe. Get a ride home, and don't mess with people. Last thing on the midweek midterms here, Jalen in the chat gave Plant Parents an F-. I'll deal with you later. Saw you talking about the plan I gave up, too. Week 0 of college football. I grade that a C. You never get great matchups. Georgia Tech, Florida State, I mean, it's cool. Dublin Island's cool. You never get great matchups. That's a C for me.
I just go back to the fateful year 2020 when they said we would not have college football that season. And what I would pay for this Week 0 college football slate, probably $300. Because you got to appreciate what you have. I'll take any football. Thank you. Give me a B.
B? All right. We'll take it. That was the midweek midterms here on Theoretically Speaking. Every Wednesday, tap in and we grade some stuff. We give out some grades. Again, I'm a former teacher. I'm a vet at this. I was an easy grader, too. I wasn't, like, tough on them. We taught them of mice and men. We taught them some vocab words. It was a good time. What else is always a good time? I know who I want to take me home. Take me. I take you home with this. It is literally the worst kept secret in all of sports radio all over the town. People kind of know. It's been a buzz, but we got to break some huge news here, and it's going to happen on Monday. Some big changes coming here at ESPN West Palm. CK.
Yeah. Zip the lips. Throw the key away. Ooh. We cannot say anything at all.
Getting crazy.
Until Monday. I'm going to talk this way so I don't, blurt it out.
I might call in a favor. We should get Adam Schefter on this to break this. We need to get the big guns because this is real breaking news. It's crazy. We'll see. Brady and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.